الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم and good evening welcome to On The Couch with me Farida Rabia and Sokin Zinzi this is where you hear the difference on 100.4 FM As we commemorate International Women's Month, we take a look at some of the incredible women in history and in the present times that we are living in that have made and continue to drive change in our society. For her work and role in the fight against breast cancer, Dr. Fatima Hussein can be counted amongst such women. While we celebrate women, and as we always should, it is also important to shine a spotlight on issues that threaten the livelihood of women, such as breast cancer. The World Health Organization recently dubbed cancer a global health pandemic. Second only to COVID, in South Africa, female breast cancer accounted for over 14% of all new cancer cases recorded in 2022, and about 20% of those were triple negative breast cancers. With such concerning stats, this conversation is necessary. On the line we have Dr. Fatima Hussein, but before we get to saying salams to Dr. Fatima Hussein is a specialist surgeon who enjoys all aspects of general surgery with a particular interest in breast and thyroid health. This includes surgery for the breast, thyroid and soft tissue tumors. Dr. Hussein graduated with an MBCHB from the University of Stellenbosch in 2009, subsequently specialized in general surgery and qualified with an FCS, SA and MMed Surg in 2019. She has been involved in publication of several articles. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Fatima, and welcome to On The Couch.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you so much to you and your listeners for having me here today.
Dr. Fatima, just for those of us who aren't so familiar when alphabets are put together in certain ways, when we say graduated with a MBCHB or FCS, SA or MMed, what does that mean?
That means that, to put it simply, I went to medical school and I became a doctor, like all our general practitioners out there. Only difference is I went a little bit further and I studied to become a specialist surgeon that I did at the University of Stellenbosch, where I got both the FCS via the College of Surgeons of South Africa, and where I did my MMed, which is a kind of a thesis that you do via the university.
Okay.
Interestingly enough, I am now subspecializing, very interesting, to become even better so that I can offer a little bit of a better service to our lovely ladies and men out there, just because that's what we need to do. We need to constantly better ourselves.
I agree with you. Doctor, every year we speak about breast cancer, and I believe that there's always a different angle to every story that one could cover. And I feel that oftentimes we do repeat most of the stuff that we want to emphasize on, like early detection of breast cancer. But if the numbers are increasing so much, what does it say about the state of cancer within South Africa, especially with women?
There are two parts to that. The first part may indicate that we are becoming more, the knowledge about the disease in terms of breast cancer is expanding. We are becoming more knowledgeable about it and we are more accepting of the diagnosis, and therefore more people may be seeking help. And if more people are seeking help, obviously more people will be diagnosed and therefore we'll see a little bit of a rise in the numbers. However, there is a flip side to that coin. And the flip side is that as we are progressing as we are becoming more advantaged or more moving towards the 21st century, getting more advanced in terms of societal things, we're using cars more frequently, not walking as much, eating a lot more fast foods, not eating healthy foods or foods that are, kind of, I would say, in inverted commas, organic from the garden to the table, as we used to do in the olden days. You can say in the broad aspects, see, problems such as lack of exercise and living a sedentary lifestyle, problems such as obesity are becoming far more frequent. It's becoming more like the norm that we see. Unhealthy eating habits are, I don't think there's many people who have healthy eating habits anymore. And these things are things that contribute to your increased risk of breast cancer, amongst other things. And therefore, I think to a certain degree, we are also seeing increased numbers because the disease is also becoming far more prevalent in our society. And so we're getting a much more, there are a lot more people now than there were before. And so obviously the numbers of people that are being affected is obviously going to be a little bit more. So multiple contributing factors to what we are seeing in the demographic at the moment.
When I hear you speak, doctor, I think about every other doctor we hear speak saying that lifestyle, the way you live your life, is important. What you intake, what you do, you know, exercise and eating healthy and all of those things. And then, of course, the conversation also sort of shifts where we're like, okay, not a lot of people can afford a healthy lifestyle. What is a healthy lifestyle? But I think the main thing is to live healthily. And if we're not healthy, chances are that you might be at risk. And so what's the point of losing yourself to a disease that could have been prevented, if that sort of makes sense? If you were to make a choice to live a healthy life, is it that our options, or our chances rather, of getting cancer would be a lot less, and the numbers, cancer wouldn't be the second leading cause of death?
Not entirely. Look, to go back to something my grandfather used to say, is like death always needs an excuse. So I don't think we're going to, ultimately, cancer in general, not just breast cancer, but also including breast cancer, is a disease of the aging population. And I can explain that in a biological way. Mm. As we get older, the ability of our genetics to repair itself, to repair damaged DNA, becomes weaker and weaker. That repair process becomes not as good as we get older. The thing is, if you are young and you are living a completely unhealthy lifestyle, sitting on the couch, watching TV all day, eating chips, not drinking Coke, not that I'm saying that all of those things are bad, but everything in moderation, those things are acceptable. But if that's what you do all day and your body mass index is above 35, your risk of any cancer, not just breast cancer, is significantly higher than other people, excluding those with a genetic predisposition. Mm. So when you take that into account, you are in all those products, everything that we consume does take a toll on your body. You have to process it. Your liver has to go through it. Your kidneys have to process those things. So they do eventually, in some degree, become a part of your body. And some of those components of those things are actually toxic. And your body then takes a toll from those toxic ingredients, if you want to put it that way. That then requires your genetics to clean up the system. And if that's getting used over and over, over more than what it should be being used, obviously some small things are going to slip through. And that's why we say that in many ways, obesity increases the risk of many cancers, because the requirements to heal in somebody that is obese is much more than in somebody that is not.
Mm-hmm.
So no, if you ask me if you are going to eliminate cancer from the world if we all eat healthy, I don't think so. I think it is a genetic, partly related to your genetics and partly related to the way we heal, our healing system, our immune system, our the way we repair. So those do take a toll naturally with age, but it is taking a toll in younger people because of the way we are living at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And it just makes me think about responsibility that one needs to take for one's health, you know. So that's why I feel like we always have these conversations, and I'm assuming doctors like yourself and people within this field are looking at the numbers and trying to prevent them or trying to curb those numbers and promote a healthier lifestyle. But if you say that more and more younger people are getting breast cancer, that's a very big red flag for our society. That means the chances are that more people might die because of this. So how do we, I know that early detection is the best place to start, but how do we get people to get this? When you say early detection, how are we supposed to respond? Are we
serious? What does it entail? I think, first of all, the first and most important thing before we even feel our breasts and look into the mirror, etc., the first thing is, what are we going to do about it? I think there's still such huge people have such a lot of fear about breast cancer, and yes, it is definitely scary, but I think a lot of those that fear is associated with, okay, I'm going to have cancer and then I'm going to die. The two are kind of directly linked. The thing is, you will die eventually, but you won't necessarily die of that cancer, especially if you acknowledge that there is a lump, it's maybe new, and get it checked out immediately. The longer we wait with things like this, the longer we deny what is happening, or live in that fear, the more likely that those fears might actually come through. So I think the first thing is actually to change our mindset about the disease itself. If you diagnose breast cancer early, it is curable. That's the beauty of it. The treatments that are available now for breast cancer are just amazing. And I don't think in South Africa we've ever had this much access to health in terms of medical aid and what they are providing, especially in the realm of breast cancer, what they're willing to cover for patients with breast cancer. I think it's actually something that if you have a lump and you see a doctor, it kind of can go really quickly, and it can be, to a certain degree, somewhat seamless and not cause all of those, not even be anything related to those fears that you had. And then once you get over those fears, I think we definitely need to examine our breasts. And I will tell every woman out there, 10 days in every menstruating woman, every 10 days after every month, 10 days after your menstrual cycle, in the shower, while you're there, I mean, you are going to be washing yourself. Take a good feel of your breast, get comfortable with them. I mean, they are yours. You've been born with them. You're going to grow with them. Feel them, get comfortable with them and what they feel like. And if you do feel any new lumps, etc., that is something that if you are a menstruating woman, lumps do form. They are related to the menstrual cycle. But if they are not gone by the next menstrual cycle, you should probably have it checked out. Go and see your doctor, etc. They will probably arrange an ultrasound or mammogram if necessary. Not all people get a mammogram, but at least you should get an ultrasound. And if there's any doubt on what that may look like, or if there's any additional concern based on what the lesion looks like or feels like, then they will order investigations like a biopsy of some sort or other. The other thing is that we don't feel inside our armpits. So breast actually extends all the way up to your arm, almost to your shoulder. And we should also feel in our axilla for any new, or our armpit, for any lumps that may be there. Because sometimes the first place that you feel something funny, especially if you have bigger breasts, is actually a node in your, or a little lump in your axilla. And that also, same story, if it doesn't go away, go have it investigated. And we should look in the mirror. So other things like a nipple discharge or dimpling of the skin or thickening of the skin, any change that was not there and is not normal, any deviation or inversion of the nipple, where the two breasts start looking asymmetrical, one much larger than the other, size discrepancy, maybe one even smaller than the other. that should get investigated. Go to your doctor, your local GP, your gynecologist, your surgeon, and we can all help to direct you further to where or what you need to do.
I think from what you just said now, doctor, is the mindset, because I too think that if you have cancer, you're going to die. That's the next thing. And in as much as people, and I think it's also because of the stories that are attached to cancer and how, you know, way back then, you know, in the early 2000s, how research was, you know, but slow. We didn't have all the resources for it and all the information. And now cancer is being combated and you can cure it, you can beat it, and you can live a normal life. And I suppose, you know, you wouldn't have to go through all of the other, you know, very scary things, chemo and so on, once it's, you know, once you find it earlier on, or the early detection. But this mindset, is it a part of school training? Where does this start, especially to change, to get away from, to move away from the fear?
I actually think it probably starts at home. I think we exactly as you say, it, a lot of it comes from the stories that we tell. So I think instead of telling just the scary ones, why not start telling the success stories? And that's the other thing. A lot of women don't talk about their breast cancer or their breast cancer journey. I think mostly a lot of, they kind of just want to get over it. And if they're over it, they're just very happy that it's over and done with. I think we really need to start talking to more women, need to start talking, especially the ones who've had the journey, like kind of, that hasn't been extremely traumatic, kind of. They went for their diagnosis. I mean, it's always going to be traumatic getting that diagnosis. Absolutely. It's always going to be traumatic. But if you are now in remission and you are done with your treatment, talk to people about the things that that the parts of your journey that made it easy for you, the people that were your support structure. Talk about the other parts of it. Yes, it is a traumatic thing. I know, we all know it is traumatic, and there's no way to make it easier. Any diagnosis is traumatic. But as soon as we start talking about the success stories and not just, auntie got cancer and then she died like 6 months later, not talk about those ones. Talk about the other ones, the ones where, yeah, I was diagnosed when I was 20, and I had my mastectomy, or I had my tumor excision, I had my treatment after that, and now I'm in remission for the last 20 years. Why not talk about those stories? I don't think we hear enough of the success stories. Don't think we get enough exposure to that. And that also starts at home. And I think what we're doing right now, talking about it more and more, I think it also gives power to other women to do exactly that. And it raises awareness. Even if it's one woman who just was afraid and now will go and seek help, then we've made a difference to somebody's life. And I think we should just not stop talking about this and about the options for treatment and the possibility and probability that we can help and save lives.
Yeah, I mean, saving lives is the point. You know, we want you to live longer, we all want to live long. We don't want diseases and illnesses to take away our life, especially if there are, you know, treatment options available. There are ways that you can deal with the illness or disease and so on. And some people are lucky, you know, they get the cancer and then the cancer's gone, you know, after they do the treatment and all of those stuff. And some people, unfortunately, get cancer reoccurringly. And so that's the scary part. I mean, we love scary stories, I think, and that's what drives our fears. But also, even if a woman were to speak about, you know, this has been my journey, and they're all positive about it, it doesn't take away the fear from cancer. You know, when I think about cancer, I think about death, and I think about how difficult it might be for that person, their families and their support structure, because cancer doesn't only affect that person, it affects everybody, including those doctors who help them. But we have to take a short break. This is 100.4 FM and you're listening to On The Couch. We're speaking to Dr. Fatima Hussain and we're speaking about breast cancer and why this is an important conversation to have forever and forever until our numbers drop. But more on this conversation right after the break.